Okay, so today we have myself, Mardell Gunn, and Heidi Robichaud. How do I say your last name?
Robichaud.
Okay. And we are pre-recording this, but we're pre-recording it only a few days before the show. So we're talking about fall stuff. It's fall after a crazy hot, dry summer, really strange summer, but... So I want to check in first of all. How did the shiitakes do in this crazy hot, dry summer?
Yeah, so this was not a good shiitake summer for us, mostly because we don't water our shiitakes. We did plunge them in the tub early in the season in spring, and we got a nice flush in spring before we knew that we were going to have a drought all summer, and. We didn't water them after that as it got drier and drier. They really need to have regular moisture, and we don't have any kind of sprinkler system going. So, you know.
So you just let nature do its thing, and nature was not very...
Yeah, was not a good shiitake summer.
Right. For those
of you, omelets.
A few omelets. So you got a few. For those of you who are not aware, I guess it was this spring, we did a garden conversation with Heidi and Scotty talking about the shiitakes that they've grown for quite a few years and how they do it and whatnot. So every year is not a good year for shiitakes. But tomatoes, on the other hand, did awesome this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Tomatoes and, well, what about beets? My beets are huge this year. Leeks are big.
Yep. Yeah. Lots of things did really well.
Yeah. So as a result of that, everybody's frantically trying to put things away, as I assume you are.
Yes.
So what?
I've done a lot of it already, but, you know, sometimes I am trying to bide my time and time my harvest between my harvest and the moose's harvest.
Oh, really?
Of my garden, perhaps. So I like to leave certain things like kale in as long as I can, but after the other greens are gone in the wild, the moose tends to hit my garden.
Come in. Oh, so okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So then you that makes sense. You're harvesting what you have to then, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about carrots? Do you leave those in late? Or
I usually take half out, you know, around now, and then I leave some in, you know, leave the rest of them in for another until it starts freezing up. But it's really nice to be able to harvest your root crops when the ground is dry.
Yeah.
You know,
is.
So potatoes.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah.
Why not? You know, because you know when it rains, it's just going to be a muck fest. So we like to get them out when it's nice weather, you know.
And you're in an area, Mud Bay has been known for having bears eat carrots. Have you had your carrots taken by the bears?
Yes, I have.
I imagine that's a hazard of leaving them in the...
Yeah, so that's why, you know, and they're really big now. They're still elongating a little more, but it's been like one of our best carrot seasons ever.
Yeah, it has been a great carrot.
And we've had outstanding onions, for the biggest, best variety of onions ever this year. And
it's amazing what a little bit of extra heat does, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
To all of those crops that I've kind of always thought, oh, my soil's not good enough, or oh, my, you know, whatever I blamed it on, that my onions didn't get big. Well, it's that we didn't have enough heat is what I'm finding. So, or at least that's what this summer has shown.
And we've been fortunate to, you know, as far as off the grid people, we have lots of water, so we have been able to water plenty.
That helps a lot.
And
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how you've been doing this for years. What are some of your favorite things to do to put things away? Do you have a freezer or do you can? That's my first question.
Well, both, but mostly I'm not really canning much of my garden produce. I'll be canning, you know, wild stuff. The things that I've learned this year that have made it easier and less time-consuming, less work, is I like to take... I've learned to cut my celery in the middle of the year, which I believe you might have mentioned years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I chop up my celery. You know, I cut it down to, you know, low to the ground. And then I chop it up and put it on a... I just basically throw it in a bag in the freezer, you know, so I don't cook it or anything. And then I have, you know, gallon or quart bags, or I suppose you could use plastic containers or however you store stuff in the freezer, glass jars. And then later in the winter, whenever I want to make a soup or a sauce or something, I can just grab a handful of it. Yeah. And what I've started to do this year with the kale, which has been fantastic, is I just strip the stipes out of the kale, the stems out of the kale, and I strip them right in the garden. I just pull them off, I don't have to chop on a cutting board with a knife. And I throw them in a bag, or it could be a box or a cloth bag or anything, and I throw it in the freezer. And then the next day, it's all nice and frozen, I just crunch it up.
So you don't even put it in a bag first?
Yeah, I throw it in a big bag.
In a big bag,
a big garbage bag.
So that then you can just take the outside of that bag and scrunch it up, and it reduces its size.
Oh, my God. You can have 30 gallons of kale in a bag, as long as you get the stems out first, and you don't have to cut them up or anything. You just chop them up, and then you just scrunch.
And then I've got broken up kale.
Crumpled up kale, and then I put that in little bags.
Smaller
portion sizes, or if you wanted to make kale powder or make soups or something like that.
Yeah, I find that I do about half of my kale that way, and about half of it I still blanch, because I do find that they are different. And I find that it doesn't last as long in the freezer. So my kale that I want to be using like next April and May before my next kale comes in, I find that it kind of gets a freezer taste when you do it that way a little bit.
Right. And that, so I'd do the same thing. I've got like half
a little bit of it,
half of like the stuff that I put away earlier in the season, the kale, I did, blanch that, steam that lightly, and then, stuff it in a bag. And
I find that raw, what I call, I label it raw and blanched or cooked, and that raw stuff, I can do a kale salad in the middle of the winter. You can take that out, and if you just, however you make your kale salad, there's a zillion ways of doing that.
You get the instant wilted kale salad.
You get instant wilted
instant
kale.
Massaged
That's
kale
right.
salad.
You do. And I find that that I can do that in the middle of the winter. So it's a good way to use kale. So.
And one of my favorite things to do that I've done for many years is, throughout the season I'm freezing things or gathering them, but I like to make a big vegetable sauce, and I'll just take whatever I have in the garden that would go good in a sauce, and it would be onions, garlic, maybe celery for sure, the stems of chard, and mostly those, and cook those up, and sometimes I'll add a chicken broth or something, but mostly I'm just cooking them up
sauce.
And just the veggies. My husband's a vegetarian, a non-chicky eaterarian. and then, I'll just make as many gallons of that as I can. And then I've got my,
just those veggies.
Well, right. But then I've also got, then I'll add, a few cans of tomatoes or whatever to make it kind of give it some red color and a little bit of sauciness.
And do you do that before you put it in the freezer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm basically making
a sauce.
A tomato sauce with as many of my vegetables as I can, but no cabbage, no brassicas.
Right.
I just don't like the way that tastes.
Yeah.
But then by the time I do that, mid or late summer, I've usually got lots of basil and oregano, and I put lots of that in towards the end. And, and then I flavor it, season it, with a little, salt and honey or whatever you put in however you like your tomato sauce. And then I'll just freeze that in gallon bags or quart bags, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, whenever we want to have spaghetti or,
it's an instant
you've got
thing.
This sauce that's probably 75% veggies and maybe, 25% tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And we don't have enough tomatoes to really make tomato sauces, unlike you might have.
This year I do. I actually do. It's been very fun.
Yeah, I had the honor of seeing Mardell's tomatoes this year. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm up to 132 pounds so far this year. So, it's been an amazing
tomato. There was
huge tomatoes,
what would you say, 6-inch wide or bigger?
Yeah, I've gotten
diameter.
Quite a few that are 1 3/4 pounds is what. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It can be done in Haines, Alaska, but you got to have the right. It's in the dome, and And yeah. you got to have the right circumstance. But I totally am enjoying making tomato sauces. And I'm doing them by putting them in the freezer. But something just occurred to me that you could take that veggie mix that of what you just talked about, of your stems of things and garlic and all. And you could, if you were short on freezer space, like a lot of people are, you could take and put that in baggies or whatever, however you freeze your stuff. Take that out. Add your tomato sauce.
Later,
in the middle of the winter.
Exactly.
And not have to take that freezer space for your, it's not quite as instant or, it is almost as instant.
Yeah.
You're going to just open up a can. So
right. And you know, I think a lot of us are kind of striking a balance when we put stuff in the freezer. You know, I have a lot of like raw frozen ingredients that if I want to make a, you know, super a sauce, I can pull out celery or I can pull out kale or I can pull out whatever else I have. But it is nice sometimes, you know, when you get home from work late and you're just tired and hungry
to
and
have
you just
something
pull something
done.
Out. And
the key with freezer storage is make sure you label stuff well and make sure you know where you put it. It took me many years to figure out you must have a system in your freezer. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the spring with all of this stuff of, oh, yeah, I remember I did put that in the freezer. So I've had to learn that the hard way is take some energy and time to make sure, even if it means making a map. For a few years, I made a map of my freezer, so I knew where my fruits were and berries and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you can get the tall, thin boxes and, organization, labeling.
Or I use bags. I use T-shirt bags is another way that I've done it for years. I put my, you know, all my kale in one bag and all of my collards in another bag. So, you know, however you want to do it.
That's a good idea. T-shirt bags.
Yeah.
I like that.
So,
because I like bags rather than boxes, because bags are scrunchy. And
yeah, they scrunch. The boxes just waste too much space for me. So, yeah. So one thing I will say to remind people that if you've grown Brussels sprouts, which I know there's a bunch of people out there who have, don't throw away those tops like I did for many, many years. They are very good to eat. So this is the time of year that you really probably do want to be cutting off the tops, because then the Brussels sprouts will start to get bigger. They can put their energy into the sprouts instead of the tops. And I used to just throw them away when I did that. One year I decided, oh, I'm going to try eating them. Well, they've become our favorite green. And it's better if you can wait until the nights get cold, a frost or at least a cold night, because that'll turn the starches into sugar and they're sweeter and better. But, you know, it's always a toss-up. We haven't had any cold nights out the road yet. We haven't even gone below 40 at our place. So so it's a trade-off. When do, you know, it's that same thing. When do you take the vegetables out or when do you leave them in to grow bigger or whatnot?
Exactly.
So,
yep.
It's always a game. So another thing while I have you on air, Heidi, I want to ask you about your salsa, because I have to tell this story that one time I was at a party and we were having this conversation about salsa and kelp salsa. And I said, I've never tasted a salsa, the kelp salsa that I like. And as I was dipping into a salsa with a chip, Heidi says, well, you're eating one right now. And it was hers. And so we talked about it. And you said at that point that the key was lime. And I also didn't know that I needed to have bull kelp as well, is what you're saying. So what...
The key is the bull kelp, and and that doesn't grow fresh around here. Occasionally we'll get lucky and there might be some fresh strands that are, you know, that are floating or have washed up on the beach. I've seen it happen, but mostly, you know, I get them when I go to Gustavus frequently and I bring it back from Icy Strait if I can, or if I have a friend who's out fishing or doing, you know, field work or whatever, they can bring back buckets of bull kelp in seawater. And then I'm just making salsa using fresh jalapenos. I'm using about 75% kelp.
Wow.
And adding fresh jalapenos and onions and garlic
and some tomatoes
and lots of lime. Very few tomatoes, you know, like I said, maybe you know,
depends
as little
on
as
what
possible.
You've got. Yeah.
Depends to taste. But what the key I've found over the years, 20 years of making lots and lots of kelp salsa, is that to get the a sort of kelpy flavor out, if mm-hmm. you want to use a lot of kelp and fewer tomatoes, is to use a lot of lime juice, fresher the better, a lot of cilantro if you can, and some kind of sweetener, honey. That makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So you get, but
and
that
more
was
jalapenos.
The thing. And more jalapenos. That was one of the things that I liked about that, about your kelp salsas. It had very little kelpy flavor to it. It was really tasty.
It doesn't have to be kelpy.
Yeah.
It's wonderful stuff. A huge resource.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, we don't have bull kelp here, but if you can
Most
get
people
it,
do
yeah.
know a fisherman,
yeah,
though.
That can, yeah, that's true. So, okay. Well, we could go on and talk about harvesting a lot more for another show at least, but we are out of time, and Joni's going to be saying time's up. So,
thank you, Mardell.
Yeah, thank you, Heidi.
Happy harvesting.
Happy harvesting, and soon it will be snow flying, so enjoy it while we got it. So thanks so much, Heidi.